This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN. You heard Brent Musburger, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back. Smack dab in the middle of the week. I always feel like this is a chance to like take a deep breath, because then once we get to tomorrow, Thursday, you kick off a new NFL season, especially here on Sharp Money. You know, Amal, Dustin, all over the college football. So Thursday and Friday, a lot of that. We've got the World Series getting going on Friday in Arlington. I'm looking forward to that series. Mike Palm stopped by. He had an opportunity. It's kind of the inverse of what's happening with Dustin Sweetelson. Dustin's got fat numbers on both the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. Conversely, for Palm, he needed the Phillies and he needed the Astros. Busy time of the year. And again, we welcome you in. We'll get to the quarterback news. Quarterback news out of San Francisco. Quarterback news out of Tennessee, which is very interesting. Before we do, boys, I wanted to talk about this. We touched on it yesterday, Amal, and that is the NBA season kicked off last night. You know, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't necessarily call the three of us haters. I would now understand. I grew up with Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn, Dennis Rodman, like the bad boy Pistons. It was us against the world. That was like, I'm 78. That was 88. I'm 10 years old. Could you find a sweet spot for a human more than that, Amal? I'd put right there the NBA, my favorite sport growing up through the 90s.
Well,
okay. That's what I'm telling you. Right now, it's not even on the radar.
I've always said David Stern killed the NBA for me. You want to talk 80s NBA, I tell you right now, you're not going to find five people that know the 80s NBA better than I do. And you talk about your Pistons. If Isaiah doesn't turn his ankle in game six, the Pistons are winning three in a row.
Yes.
Okay, they're beating the Lakers in 88. And I'm with you on that. But I will tell you what, man, I actually made tonight, I said 6:30 Pacific time, I am going to watch Victor Wembanyama play tonight. I can't wait to see him play. We saw the LeBron debut in Sacramento 20 years ago now. And now you've got a player who's kind of coming in with a similar hype. And Patrick, I'm going to tell you, I'm fascinated by what he's going to be able to do. The length is going to be a problem. You can't simulate 7'4", 7'5", to be able to shoot over.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that. And by the way, in the game you're talking about at the Forum, game six, I think it was 88, Isaiah sprained an ankle. I'm not saying this is not hyperbolic. Don't you smile, Dustin. I'm not 25 points on essentially a busted ankle. You'll just never see anything like it. Go to YouTube. You can watch the full quarter. It's 88. It's game six. It's the Lakers. It's showtime. It's Isaiah on a bum ankle, 25 points in a quarter. It's the best performance I've ever seen.
I'm going to find the tweet. I'm going to retweet it out. The reason Patrick Maher is never going to get married is because he will never look at a woman the way in this picture I'm going to tweet out. He looked at Isaiah Thomas when we had him on our old show.
Yeah, but wait, you got to show them all. You got to honestly show. We'll put it up at the Rap Radio. But you know what I'm talking about with that quarter, Amal.
25 points in the third quarter. Listen, Zeke's career. I always kill Zeke because it just some of the things off the court. But the reality of it is, at Indiana, he wins a national championship in 1981. He is a tremendous, tremendous player throughout his entire career.
Look it up. Tell them what you're laughing about. So we, during the pandemic, our company had us do a bunch of interviews, and we interviewed the bad boys. And Isaiah Thomas, to me, I'm still getting butterflies thinking of, like, him and Steve Yzerman and Barry Sanders growing up. It's impossible.
Spoiled.
And the look on my face is like, literally, I wouldn't look at Cindy Crawford in her prime like that.
Well, that I find offensive because that's my all-time favorite, Cindy C.
She used to have workout videos that I would watch.
But speaking of which, we can talk.
You sound like me right now.
We can talk about that beautiful lady from DeKalb, Illinois, another time. But I'm going to tell you, you're spoiled growing up in Detroit. Barry Sanders, Stevie Y, Isaiah Thomas. But my all-time favorite hockey player played for the Red Wings, Nicholas Lidstrom. I mean, the guy won seven Norris trophies. I mean, he was just unbelievable. But I can't wait tonight, Victor Wembanyama, to see his debut. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And you're right. We're not into the NBA as much. For me personally, it's part of the sitting out, some of the rest, the load management, the way the games are officiated. Superstars get too many calls. Like, I think Luka's a phenomenal offensive player. But my God, dude, every time you miss a shot, it's not a foul on the defensive team. Those guys are getting paid to make plays as well.
Yeah, no, you're right. And again, generally, if I'm betting, I'm not betting sides. I'm betting totals in the NBA. But also just such a sea change as far as the posted totals. You know, you've got a full slate tonight. I'm looking at 12 games tonight, and I'm seeing totals 230, 236, 235 and a half. You know, you go 10, 12 years ago, you were betting in the totals of 180. Yeah. Like, the game has changed beyond. And that's what I tried to outline a little bit yesterday. Just maybe a lot of people have an issue more of an inside out game as opposed to, or 3-point game. I should just call it a perimeter game. And I think people have a problem with it. And that's the reason for the elevated point totals with the efficiency. Now, a couple of things. I want to talk about Wembanyama with you. Dustin, Amal, the Lakers and Nuggets last night. So the champs continued their dominance of the Lakers. Remember, they swept them on the way to the finals. The Nuggets did the Lakers last year, 119-107, easily cover the 4.5 where it closed. And, you know, speaking of that, it was really, in my estimation, about AD. And he's so confusing, Amal. Can't win with him. Can't do it. Because it's like, I know this analogy is used all the time. Hot and crazy, whether you like guys or girls, hot and crazy is a weird mix because it's exciting. But in the end, the relationship is untenable. Pretty and cool, it might be medium as far as excitement, but it's peaceful and it lasts. What AD is, he's hot, he's crazy. Because 17 points in the first half, 0-for-6 in the second half from the floor, no points, no field goal attempts, minus 11 on the court. But this is him. You just jump on the roller coaster that is AD.
You summarized it perfectly. I mean, this is a guy that winds up, as you alluded to, no points in the second half, but more importantly, just 6-for-17 shooting. Fine, you can have an off night. I got no problem with that. But this is a guy, when healthy, and if he's able to play, and he hasn't played since 2017, more than 70 games in a season. And to me, he's a defensive player of the year candidate when healthy. I thought 5 years ago, the mantle that Joker and Giannis have right now, which is the best players in the world, I thought this was going to be Anthony Davis for about a decade. The size, the ability, the skill set. He just, for some reason, has not put it all together. And it's not just the lack of health at times. It just seems like his personality, his disposition doesn't lead to a situation you go, this is a guy that can carry us to a championship. LeBron's still a very, very good player, but Anthony Davis is the one that should be carrying the mantle and the mail for the Los Angeles Lakers. I just don't see it happening. And watching that game last night, Patrick, the one thing I thought was Denver didn't skip a beat. They looked like they were still playing in June. Yeah. The offense was outstanding. Aaron Gordon, hey, can we get him some more shots? I mean, all he did last night was go 7-for-11. Kentavious Caldwell, no hope, Pope. He gave him some hope once again last night, 8-for-12 from the floor, terrific. And then the underrated number two superstar on the team, Jamal Murray, continues to sizzle, 21 points last night. And then we know the Joker, I mean, just playing like the MVP. I mean, was this guy, is he pretending he was not practicing all summer? I mean, this guy does not skip a beat last night, 29, 13, and 11.
Yeah, he was tremendous. Another triple-double for the big guy. And the Lakers, fellas, this is year 21 for LeBron. And LeBron wasn't the problem. He was mic'd up. You knew LeBron was going to be peacocking to open up the season. He was mic'd up trying to, quote-unquote, implore his team. Look, LeBron's passive. LeBron's annoying. LeBron's not the problem. The problem is the big. Yep. And when I see AD stepping out and shooting threes, I want to puke. It's part of my language.
They just won't say anything to him. Please stop. I know last night he was only 1-for-2 from beyond the 3-point line. This is his biggest problem. There's nobody that can stop you in the block in the world.
Nobody.
And you want to sit there and be like, let me shoot a 23-footer.
It drives me crazy. We can get to the late game from last night. And also, Amal has a play on the Western Conference and defensive player of the year. Did you have anything on the Lakers Nuggets, big guy?
Well, I just thought it was interesting with the NBA is that you could find the best angle, you could find the best thought process, but the day in and day out aspect of the NBA, it's just so unpredictable. I heard a lot of really sharp people that I respect that I think know a lot more about betting the NBA than I do say they love the Lakers in a revenge spot because of all the smack Denver talked after eliminating them, winning the title, wanting to prove they belong, the new look roster, all the additions they made in the offseason. And the Nuggets just did what the Nuggets have been doing to everyone for the last couple seasons and just wiped the floor with them. I just think the NBA is the hardest thing to handicap. That's why I only look at the props where last night, here's another flex, was a 2-0 prop night for your boy.
I don't remember your props. I remember Patrick went 1-0 because I remember it very distinctly. 23.5 total combined on points, rebounds,
there
and assists.
There you go. Thank you.
With
Chris your
Paul.
Boy Chris Paul.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because I love the angle. To me, I'm a big revenge player, particularly in the NBA. And I thought it was a great one. He winds up with 29 combined across the board, and it got there pretty quickly. I know you had Kevon Looney over on the rebounds. And by the way, Patrick, for some reason, every prop betting market hates Kevon Looney in terms of getting rebounds.
Oh,
he
I know.
He just stands on the basket, and the Warriors are spreading out across the floor, and they're like, hey, KL, get the ball and just let's go.
Well, here's what
I'd
say.
He never adjusted in the postseason last year for his rebounds.
He's a guy I routinely go back to when I know Draymond's out especially, and I know he's going to be on the floor more by himself as the main rebounder for the Warriors. He's a guy I will go back to time and time again. I think that's a key. Maybe this is the pro tip of the day, one that we haven't done a pro tip in like 3 weeks on the show, but everyone's in a town hall meeting right now, so no one's going to hear that. Pro tip would be maybe find, when you're looking at prop bets, guys that you continuously go back to over and over again based on situations. Rely on guys that you know well each time if you're going to bet on them. And Kevon Looney is one of the guys for me.
I like the pro tip he gave there, Patrick, and I think it's a good one if you're a prop better. I'm not as much of a prop better, but I'm going to give you a play that I always utilize in the NBA. Dustin and I talked about it this morning. Warriors are down 15 at the break. During the in-play, Warriors, who were 2.5 for the game, you could have gotten them at 8.5, 9.5 throughout this basketball game. Either wait for a second-half opportunity if you don't want to take it in the first half on an in-play number, or wait to jump because the in-play, you could have last night had both sides at plus 8.5 or better at one point in time in this basketball game. The NBA and tennis are the two best live sports to be able to hedge and get middles on all day. I mean, we're talking about, in theory, you could have had a 16-point middle on this basketball game on 8 on both sides.
No, I think that's a great point, because a sport like the NBA that's about runs, you're just wait for that big number, like Amal said, take it and enjoy the roller coaster ride that is an NBA fourth quarter. Because even growing up, my dad said, you don't have to watch the first three quarters. We'll come back. Western Conference Defensive Player of the Year from Amal next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, I heard that, big guy. Let's go, Amal. Let's double team this. You're doing the read with me. VSIN Pro, become an unlimited access member. Right now, you get the picks, the top VSIN expert leaderboard. My assumption is the big guy said have Amal do the read because didn't he go 2-0, 3-0 last night?
Yeah, he's been hot lately. He's on like a 7-0 run, and that means more picks are coming your way at VSIN.com/picks.
Here's the thing. If Amal, he gives out plays, but the way that this show works, and I think it's a respect thing from Dustin, like we'll give out plays, and Dustin, unless we tell Dustin, officially put that on the sheet, he won't put it on the sheet. So there's been times I'm like, oh, did that pick make it on the sheet? Because I said it on the air and you want credit for it. Amal, we have to pin him down because he's been on a freaking heater. But we just got to make sure they officially them all get on the sheet there.
Well, that's my fault. And to Dustin's credit, he always does a great job of contacting me for it, but I just have to message him. I'll be honest with you, selfishly, I'm just worried about getting my play in with the best numbers, and I'm looking at where am I hedging. And so, but it's been fortunate. The college football and NFL has been pretty good. So hopefully, check out the top VSIN experts on the leaderboard to view betting records, profit, ROI, and see which expert has the hot hand.
There it is. Nice work. VSIN.com/subscribe. $120 through May 1st right now. Okay, boys. Actually, a spirited conversation about the NBA, so I think we should keep it going. Dustin, you can set it up. We're going to use this example tonight. The Pistons, who are youngest team in the league, not going to be very good this year. They're catching 10, but I'll put it to you this way, Amal. The Miami Heat are laying 10, and the money line tonight is minus 425. But the way to set up this conversation in a betting strategy, Dustin, let everybody know what we used to do with the Warriors when they were running that dominant season.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Patrick and me used to do a show that was on during a lot of these games, and the Warriors game would be tipping off usually like halfway through our show, and we'd look for opportunities to bet on them. But in 2017 or 2018, one of those years, they were just such overwhelming favorites with such a loaded roster that you couldn't bet them pre-flop. You couldn't bet them before the game started. You had to find an in-game. And for whatever reason, this team just would mess around for like a quarter and a half, and they would trail at some point a lot of times. And as soon as they would get down like 8-10 points, something like that, we would just hammer the money line on the Warriors. And then by the time the game was over, they'd win by double digits.
Patrick, I love the strategy. Let's kind of break it down a little bit more at length here. First of all, those Warriors teams were unbelievable in terms of what they were able to do. Let's use a couple of examples. Start with last night. They're playing against the Phoenix Suns. They're down. They get outscored in the second quarter, 33-18. They were tied at the end of one in terms of scoring. And so at the break, they're just absolutely getting crushed there, 61-46. Now, you've got an opportunity to take Golden State in the second half. They were -2.5 for the game. Now you can get +210, +230 on the Warriors on the money line to win the basketball game down at 15. It's actually probably higher than that. I'm sorry, I didn't even look at it that closely. But the in game at the 8.5 was a number to me. I felt like on opening night, the Warriors are not going to lose this basketball game by 9 points or more at home at the Chase Center. And I think what you guys were doing that was so intelligent is if you look at the pregame, last night was a short number, probably about 140, 145 on the Warriors because they were only 2.5 pregame. But when you're seeing an opponent that you know they're going to make a run against, it's a great in-play opportunity. So if you took the money line, let's say you got $3 on Golden State when they were down 15 points, you sit there and you wait. They outscore Phoenix by 21 points in the third quarter. Now, all of a sudden, you go from -15 to +6 in terms of the scoreboard. And now the Warriors are probably about a 230, 240, maybe even a little bit higher favorite at this point in time. You could take Phoenix on the money line, +175 to +$2. So regardless of the result, Patrick, you're going to walk out with a plus money victory on either side. It doesn't make a difference who wins the game. Now, if you're want to be a little bit more cautious and you want to potentially win both bets, you could have taken +8.5 with the Warriors. You could have taken +8.5 with Phoenix. You had an opportunity to get a middle on the game. This game winds up at 4 points. You would have hit both bets.
Yep. No, that's perfectly put. Now, do you have a strategy of how you would handle? I'll just pick the biggest, you know, as far as the number on the board tonight. And that is the number I find here, the Heat. How about this? The Heat laying 10, the Pistons in town, and the Heat preflop 425 on the money line.
Yeah, so this is a great example of a game you just picked. This is a game where tonight, what I generally do through the NBA board is I kind of scour, go through, and look at certain matchups and teams situationally. Miami, let's say they fall behind in the first half. 8-10 points. You're going to probably get the Heat at home -4.5. I wouldn't mind laying that number with Miami. I would potentially look at a money line play as well, depending on what the price is. But what I'm trying to do on some of these bigger numbers is wait and see where the number is in a situation where I think it's in my favor or the price is justified in laying it. Whereas the pregame, you mentioned 425, correct? I think that's too high, right? Detroit, I'm probably not going to win this basketball game, but I'm not laying 425 on the Miami Heat to win this game at home on a season opener. What I am hoping for is Miami does what they typically do, which is take the first half off in so many situations, and then they're trailing by 6-7 points at the break, and now I've got an opportunity with some lower field goal percentages from the Heat's offense to take Miami in the second half at a much, much shorter price. And here's the advantage of doing that, Patrick. Now, this doesn't guarantee a win, but what it does is it mitigates your risk. Let's say I get Miami in game at -150. They're down by 6 points or 5 points at the break. And if Detroit makes a run, but Miami makes a run, but they can never get over the hump. And I see Detroit's always a -130, 140 favorite. And I'm about to lose the game, and I just feel like it's not going my way. I can take Detroit at -160, 170 and on the money line. Now, I'm going to lose some money, but I'm not going to lose the full freight on Miami. So I can potentially mitigate the loss that I would have on the Miami Heat by taking Detroit the other way, because now they're in a favorite position in the fourth quarter, assuming they got a 3-4 point lead. So there's so many different ways you can reduce your risk on certain plays that you have that where you don't end up losing the entire bet and you can just minimize it.
Yep. No, I love it. And you can always kind of take a look at the board before these games tip off to find a spot like Amal's talking about situationally with these big numbers. Kind of a theme today has been the futures market. So let's talk about the futures market. And we'll start with Wemby, Victor Wembanyama, who you mentioned. I like this. You have him as far as the award season here. You have him defensive player of the year. DraftKings is showing Wemby at 15-1.
Well, look, there's six guys I've got on the list in terms of the top guys there. Rudy Gobert in some markets a little bit lower, but other than that, here, I'm going to give you the list of six guys. Jaren Jackson, Evan Mobley, Anthony Davis, Giannis, and Bam. And why I like Victor over these other guys. Jaren Jackson, we know how talented he is, former defensive player of the year last year, great player. Evan Mobley, very good player, also an elite shot blocker. Anthony Davis, health, we talked about it. Can he play 70 games? Probably not likely based on his history over the last 7-8 years. Giannis is a tremendous player, but I think there's going to be a lot of offensive burden. He'll have some opportunities to defend defensively, but what's going to hurt him a little bit, he doesn't have that great on-ball defender in Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is so good at defending the 1, 2, or 3 for an opponent. I think it's going to put a little bit more pressure on Giannis this year. Bam Adebayo, I like him, but he's a little bit undersized. I'm not as high on Bam or never have been as other people may be. Now I'm taking a look at a guy who's 7'3", 7'4", maybe 7'5", depending on where the official height measurement comes in. Patrick, it becomes so hard to shoot over him. He has the ability to alter so many shots and have such a presence that it helps your guards be able to play more up on your offensive player, because if you get beat, you've got an eraser behind you. He is an international player, just like Giannis. If this thing is close at the end, the NBA is always tend to go with what's going to be marketable and what's going to be beneficial for them from a mainstream media perspective. Victor's coming in with more hype than anybody since LeBron James. He plays for the San Antonio Spurs, a team that's had great success and has done very well defensively. 12-1, 13-1. He may not have a great offensive game, but the one thing is defense travels. He can play defensively, whether it's at home or against more experienced players. I think people are going to be really surprised how difficult it is to score over someone with that length and that reach.
No, I love it. That's a great breakdown. He's 15-1 right now, Wemby, Defensive Player of the Year over at DraftKings. Pretty damn good. Now, let's stick with the West, and we'll come back. We do have breaking news out of Major League Baseball. We'll come back after the break with that. Quickly on the Suns, who picked up the win. Again, that's without Bradley Beal. And you like them, and they're your second betting favorite at 3.5-1 to win the Western Conference here, Amal.
Yeah, I know you know this name well, but some people may not. And the reason why I like the Phoenix Suns is not because of Beal and Booker and KD. And by the way, I was late to the Devin Booker party, but I'm jumping on that bandwagon 2 years too late. About a couple years ago, I realized he's an elite scorer. And Bradley Beal is probably the best number three option on any NBA team across the board. He's outstanding. But Yusef Nurkic, the big man at 7-1, and what he can do. Patrick, he doesn't have to be great. He's just got to do what DeAndre Ayton did, rebound, and score when the opportunities present themselves. You've got three bona fide scoring superstars. The guys that I just referenced are all lead dogs on any team they play in terms of scoring the basketball. Nurkic is a guy that can patrol the paint, rebound, give you a few blocks, alter some shots along the way, and just stay out of foul trouble. He's very dangerous. Look, Denver's a really good basketball team. I think Golden State's a threat. The Lakers, potentially, if they're healthy, could be dangerous. Sacramento has gotten better. But at the end of the day, if you get the type of scoring and the ball distribution we saw last night from Devin Booker, the Phoenix Suns are going to be coming out of the Western Conference.
That's great. Tremendous. And just to close it out, you do like the Celtics at +180. Close, so you can find, maybe find closer to 2-1 in the East, correct?
Yeah, my favorite player plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. But they lost an all-world defensive player in Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is going to be a pain in Damian Lillard's side. Tatum, Brown, Al Horford off the bench. Kristaps Porzingis, with his height, he's a guy who's a number four on this team, is going to be tremendous. He's not a superstar, but what he is a rim protector and a shot alter. He doesn't have to be great. He's going to present some challenges. I think Boston's going to be a tough, tough out this year.
Check out Amal Shaw's back there, Dustin Sweetelson, because he just carried us through the segment. That's not bad. We'll take it. And we're coming back. Breaking news out of Major League Baseball.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, you take a look. We're always debating who's number one here on Sharp Money. Well, Zyn nicotine pouches are already number one. You can buy the pouches at your local convenience store at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. As a warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Make sure you check out Zyn. A bunch of different flavors as well. When you check out, I actually saw somebody. You know who it was? It was. Is it Sunway Koo, the kicker for the Falcons? You might be smiling.
Young Wei
Koo, but my apologies. And he was doing like a, after practice, he was doing a press conference, and somebody came up with a Zyn packet, and they handed the tin to him, and he grabbed a couple of Zyns and popped them.
Oh, so. Well, little Zinichino.
That's a TikTok star, correct?
No, there's just a bunch of nicknames for it. It'd be a little Sidney Crosby.
That's hilarious.
Find a way
that's
to hilarious. Alter words into having Zyn mixed into them.
So, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. We do have breaking news as we welcome you back. So, I guess you'd say Mike Palm was very upset that this man's team didn't make it to the World Series because there was $30,000+ on the line, the Astros. But Dusty Baker has officially retired as the Houston Astros manager, a manager for 26 seasons. Nobody dislikes Dusty Baker. Everybody loves him. His quote on the way out was, quote, "I'm gone." Dusty Baker, done as manager of the Astros. You know, that was maybe an underrated storyline last year, Amal. He had gotten so close with so many franchises. Even back to even the Nats, kind of sandwich nondescript team. Dusty Baker won a lot of baseball games, and when he got that championship last year, that was a great story because he's a dude that's universally loved.
You're absolutely right. I go back to the 0-2 Giants, right? Game 6, Russ Ortiz with the 6-0 lead in the sixth inning, and Dusty had always kind of had these collapses. His record, unfortunately, during Game 7s was not particularly good. He was 0-4 in his career, but you're absolutely right. Him getting that, I thought the same thing. I thought it was a little bit under appreciated in terms that he finally got that ring and got that monkey off his back in terms of winning a World Series. He had done a tremendous job. Look at what he elevated the Cubs. He elevated the Reds, the Nationals. You talked about it. He had done a great job. And 4 years in Houston, this team was in the ALCS every single year.
Yeah. It is still fascinating, Dustin, that even Dusty Baker was unable to perceptively change the opinion nationally of the Houston Astros, because Dusty Baker's literally the most likable dude. Like, even, you know, with the toothpick and the wristbands, but people still can't stand the Astros.
No, but I will say this. Last year, the only part that made you feel okay about Houston winning the World Series is that a lifer like Dusty Baker, who had been so close with so many teams so many times, finally got his ring as a manager. Like, this guy was so look back at the teams he had with. He won 95 and 97 games in 2 years with the Nationals. He won 90 plus games three times with the Reds. I don't even remember with the Reds, to be honest. He was there with the Cubs, which is whatever, but San Francisco, he had Bonds. He had that run to the World Series against Anaheim. Like, this guy was on the cusp of it his entire life, and he finally got it. And as hated as the rest of that team is, you felt good that he got one.
Dustin, you might be a little bit young for this, but Patrick will remember this. 93, the Giants and the Braves come down to the final weekend of the series. That was the year Barry went to San Francisco's first year, hits 46 bombs. Mm-hmm. I think he drives in a .123. They win 103 games.
Yep.
No postseason. That was his second most wins in his career in a season, where he won 106 last year and finally got the ring. But, I mean, this guy, I think being a former player with the Dodgers and having had success in 77, winning a World Series, winning a National League MVP, I think is what helped him kind of be able to manage guys so well.
Yeah, Dusty Baker. Wow. So he steps away, retires. I have to think this is it. Dusty's probably older than we think he is. What would our guess be?
No, well, I saw it, so I'm going to just make this comment. Dusty Baker at 48 looks 74, and today he still looks 74.
Is that what he is? Yeah. Yep. He's been 74 for four decades.
Yeah.
Hard to do.
Got to hang up those wristbands, unfortunately.
Got to hang up. Somebody posted, it was Bregman. Maybe it's an old one because I'm not as savvy as you are with social, Dustin, but people hate the Astros so much. So there was this gift float around where Bregman held up four fingers, maybe denoting I just hit a grand. I don't know what it was. And everybody was retweeting it and saying the amount of games you're going to lose to the Texas Rangers or whatever. Just insert whatever four means in a negative way to the Astros and Alex Bregman. That's what everybody was doing. Bregman, and I can't think of two people that are more despised across sports right now than Bregman and Altuve.
I would agree with you. For me, it's the Altuve one where he hit the walk-off homer and he's coming to home plate and he's grabs his jersey because he's got that thing underneath his jersey to let them know what the pitch is. And he's like, "Don't grab my jersey." I was like, "Dude, come on, man. These are great players to begin with without this."
I mean, Altuve's an where does Altuve rank? Is he all-time great?
No, statistically, he's up there. When you look at some of his elite years he had, he was a battle. Did he win a batting title? He definitely contended for a few.
Right off the bat, his numbers were incredible.
I feel like he hit 370 one year or something. I could be wrong about that. Let me look.
Did he win a batting title? Three times.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good answer.
He's the second greatest, in my opinion, and I know I'm leaving somebody out. He's the second greatest Venezuelan player of all time.
Behind Richard Hidalgo?
He was pretty good for a year. Miguel Cabrera. 30,
yeah, Miggy. He's 33. So I just think it's shocking when you look at his numbers for his career, how consistent he was.
Yeah.
He's been incredible.
8-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champ, 6 Silver Sluggers, 2 stolen base leaders. Amazing.
Yeah, he's an all-time baseman. He's an all-time.
He definitely is. Let's see. For average, you said, did he bet? Let's see. He did bet 340. He had a two-year period where he batted. This is 16 and 17. He hit 338 and 346.
Wow.
And it's 316.
Funny, because he's so short, the automatic assumption is this guy should hit 1-2 in my lineup. But I think the reality is he was probably meant to be a middle of the order 3-4 guy.
I was going
to
say a 3. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You're probably right.
Also, he was signed at an open tryout for $15,000.
It's a good investment.
I think that paid off in the end. It's good ROI.
I always remember with the Caribbean countries, maybe it was Dominican. And I remember just being at one of those, you know, all-inclusive, which is basically the same thing. You get Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Aruba. You don't leave the compound.
Yes.
You get watered-down drinks, sugar-filled drinks, and terrible fried food. And you're just like, I'm just a dumb American. But I remember I was walking on the beach at, I think it was Dominican, and there was legitimately, on the beach, they had pro scouts set up there, like practicing with dudes.
Did you go try out?
No, I just remember it being like very not clandestine, but just it was somebody that had like a Tigers hat on. Like they're literally trying kids out right now that play in bare feet.
What was that? What was that Disney movie they made about the two guys from India?
The million dollar arm.
Right. Yeah. So it's similar to what you're saying. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, no, 100%. And so again, Altuve and Bregman. I'm trying to think across sport right now.
As hated as them, it's really tough to find people as hated as them because they are known cheaters, right? Like if it were keeping it on the field, it's just things you do on the field. I am struggling to come up with another person. Jim Harbaugh.
Well, can you think of somebody off the field then?
No, I don't want to say.
I don't know. Harbaugh in Michigan right now, taking some. Even for me, who like grew up in Michigan, I just am not. I don't know. I find Harbaugh and his shtick loathsome, and so how coordinated this all has been. I don't know, it's really turned me on Michigan this year. I don't know how you two feel about it.
I'm indifferent. I've never been a big Harbaugh fan from a personality standpoint. I think they've had better coaches with better personalities there, and I'm a little bit surprised based on the way he handles some of the things. You know, this is a guy who's been around the game his whole life, and it's what really kind of just solidifies it is when you look down at Baltimore and you go, that's his brother?
Like, I know. There's such a contrast.
Yeah, John Harbaugh is one of the most likable guys around the league. I love the way he handles situations with his team, good, bad, or indifferent. He's just tremendous.
It is really and Stallions, by the way, is trending right now on Twitter. So Connor Stallions is the dude that put together the scandal that's happening in Ann Arbor right now. So we shall see.
You can't do shady stuff in today's world. You're going to get caught. Like, there are literal cameras. When Michigan comes out and says he's a low-level staffer, he's not involved, he's acting on his own, he's doing all these things by himself, there's video of him on the sidelines directly speaking to the defensive coaches to tell them what signs are.
Obviously, Jim Harbaugh was at the Chris Carter Rookie Symposium. You need a fall guy.
That's exactly right. I still can't believe Chris Carter. Is he employed?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, I think
he went and told a bunch of like 21-year-olds, like, it's okay. Just blame somebody else. Just have a fall. It's the most incredible thing ever at a sanctioned event. When we come back, quarterback news.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Sharp Money, bet $5 to win $200 in bonus bets instantly when you use the promo code SHARP for new customers at DraftKings. Remember, every day, no sweat, same game parlay as well. But again, $5, $200 instantly. Promo code SHARP. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Mal Shaw, Dustin Swedelson. Final segment of the day here on a Wednesday. We had breaking news. Dusty Baker, I'm done is the quote. He's done. He's out as the Houston Astros manager has decided to retire. So that's breaking news in baseball. This is dangerous, but Dustin Swedelson just went to the restroom and came back and said that he had breaking news for the show. The floor is yours, I think.
Yeah, so those that don't know, there is a waitress here at the D who has caught my eye. We had a brief moment where we said hello and talked to each other and small talked and introduced each other. And from time to time, I'll see her peek around a machine and we make eye contact. And I think there may be something. And then on my way to the restroom just now, because I have a very bad prostate, apparently, her and I connected and we were walking in opposite directions as she was going to be bringing drinks to someone. And I was going across and I smiled, but I did the old, hey, how's it going? And she was like, everything's good, and just walked by. And that's all the interaction was. And maybe I made up everything that I thought we had in my head.
Well, first of all, you missed 100% of the shots you don't take.
Oh, I'm going to keep shooting.
That's okay. Maybe she was in a little bit of a rush. Maybe the person was waiting on the order. Look at it from a positive perspective.
Yeah, we will see. She smiled back, but I thought I was going to get more of an emphatic high back. Because we did make eye contact several times since the last time we spoke, but it didn't feel like she was into the hi, how you doing as much as I thought she was going to be into.
I'll take it another step. Sounds like a purposeful pitch. It sounds like a brushback on her part.
Yeah, like, hey, I see you staring. Maybe she hasn't been making eye contact. Maybe I've been just like eye Googling her with my eyeballs, just like staring at her, and she's just caught me a few times and it's freaking her out.
Did she mention letters T-R-O?
What's T-R-O?
Temporary restraining order?
I think she wants a permanent one. That's the issue. Or maybe I'm confusing her with another girl. Maybe it's just another girl and they look alike. I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing them.
So your quote was, how are you?
I say, hey, how are you? And I smiled. I'm trying to smile at people these days. I'm trying my best to smile at people because I know my face naturally just goes down. Is that what people get Botox for, to go up? Does it make it go up? Should I get Botox?
Well, I won't say anything because I'll leave the shtick. Going up is something that you would generally run with here, so I'll move on.
Well, I was hoping she was going to make it go up, but apparently that's not going to happen.
Exactly. But I knew for a fact that, you know, for example, girls love when you say something you said to your buddy. How are you? Right? Come on. You got to do better than that. That's a little impersonal.
I was just like keeping it moving. I got things to do, which was mainly go to the restroom. But yeah, I was hoping maybe seeming busy and in a rush, and she was doing something too that like, but I just wanted to acknowledge her presence. I thought acknowledging the presence would be good.
I have to ask you too a question because, and Dustin, you probably know this, but growing up, I obviously was a Detroit Lions fan, but they were terrible. And my other team, for a good reason, was the Houston Oilers. The Houston Oilers were my team because one day my dad, who worked at the post office, worked with Curtis Duncan's brother. Okay. If you don't know who Curtis Duncan was, the Houston Oilers back in the day, first off, they had the sweetest uniforms, which that's the reason I'm bringing them up. But they had Warren Moon, Curtis Duncan, Ernest Givens, Haywood Jeffries, Lorenzo White. Like they were a team that just was always, Jack Pardee was their coach. They were a team that was always there, but never could quite get over the hump. You remember those teams, Amal. And my dad, I just thought he was a celebrity because he worked at the post office with somebody's brother that was in the NFL, and Curtis Duncan was the brother in the NFL. Now, I bring it up, and I got to give credit to Taylor Lewan, and who does the show
Will
with
Compton.
Him? Taylor.
Will
Compton. They had C.J. Stroud on the show, and they asked this question. Of course, C.J. Stroud plays in Houston. They asked the question, who deserves to wear the sweet Houston Oilers throwbacks? You know, you can think of the blue. You can think of
awesome.
Like those are, to me, to this day, they're my favorite color cord combination and favorite uniforms in the NFL history. And the question is, because obviously the Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee and now they're the Titans. So who gets the throwbacks? Is it the Titans? The Titans will be wearing them this weekend. Or is it Houston that originally had the franchise?
See, I thought the Texans should have kept the Oilers, right? Because I love the logo with the oil rig.
The refinery
on the side of the helmet. And you mentioned it, the colors. Warren Moon in that sweet light powder blue. I mean,
that was
a good uniform.
You left the state of Texas. Yep. Right, you left where they're known for oil, and that's where the Oilers were. Once you decide to leave the city, you cannot be wearing the colors and the logo of the city you abandoned. No. The Houston Texans should have shown up in the NFL like the new Cleveland Browns did and said, we are the Houston Oilers. We are not the Texans. It's a disgrace that they left that town. Tennessee's not known for oil.
Well, Utah's not known for jazz music.
That's another disgrace.
That's a good rebuttal.
It's another disgrace. And you don't know that. Okay. You ever hung out at the bars in Utah?
Well, I have. I went there on a Sunday. You can't get a drink. I bring it up as well because they're going to be wearing the Titans, the throwbacks, and quarterbacking the team. It looks like Vrabel said Will Levis is going to get the start. Of course, a 33rd overall pick in this last year's draft. But did you guys hear the same thing that Malik Willis is going to get some time as well? So with Tannehill out, it looks like it's going to be Will Levis and Malik Willis.
Well, with that being said, I will take either the under or the Falcons -3 here. Moneyline playing the Falcons as well. And if you got some serious stones, how about taking Atlanta right now in a survivor spot against Tennessee? Patrick, you and I talked about this at length before the draft, and Dustin was in agreement with us. None of us, the three of us, saw anything out of Will Levis that justified the conversation of him going in the first round. Finally, scouts got something right and dropped this guy to the second round.
Yep. He's not an NFL starter. Is there anything else there? And Amal mentioned that they're going to be hosting Atlanta. 2.5, Circa showing 3, DraftKings is showing 3 right now with Atlanta laying it on the road.
I mean, I have two pretty consistent themes in this show. One, I'm in love with the waitress who apparently doesn't love me back. Two, I think Desmond Ridder stinks, but I'm going to lay 3 on the road with Desmond Ridder and the Falcons at the Titans. Mike Vrabel as a dog's been great. He's never had to deal with what he's about to deal with that quarterback. It's going to be a gross display of offense from them. I and the Falcons cover the field goal.
Guys, the problem is they've scored in their 2 wins, they scored 54 points against the Chargers and the Bengals. In the 4 losses, they've scored a total of 50 points.
I actually just got 2.5. I'm taking the 2.5.
So yeah, 2.5. So you take the number, you'll be fine. We've debated this on the air and off the air all day today, and that is, remember, we're getting going on Friday, World Series, Arlington. Amal, I don't know if you saw this. It's not going to be Montgomery. Game 1, Nathan Eovaldi is going to get the start for the Texas Rangers.
Big game, Nate.
I'm a little bit surprised. Look, it's not going to change my position on Montgomery 22-1 to win the World Series MVP. I don't think we're going to see a sweep out of either team, and especially Texas if you're betting them for the World Series MVP. Of all these pitch well guys, but I'm just going to stand in my position here with Jordan Montgomery at 22-1. I think him and – did you say Merrill Kelly or Zach Gallen was 20-1? Gallen
was 20-1.
I think, Patrick, those two are the best bets for World Series MVPs, and I'm in agreement with what you said earlier. The Rangers are too high of a price at -175 to lay on Texas.
I totally agree. I'm equally surprised with Eovaldi getting the go.
I think it's just there. I just think it's because Eovaldi last pitched Sunday and Montgomery pitched Monday. That's all it is, just to keep them on somewhat of a routine here.
Fair enough. Okay. On the way out, boys, I don't know if you have – I don't, so I'll just throw that out there. I don't have an official play tonight, but if you guys do, feel free.
No, I tell you what, you look at the matchups tonight, Jacksonville State taking on Florida International, this one in Miami at 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. Tough game to back, but FIU's offense has been completely inept. They had one good quarter against UTEP, they gave up 21 points in a bad quarter, eke out a win last week against Sam Houston State. And the other one, Dustin, tonight, UTEP and Sam Houston State. Can't touch any of these teams, but remember, guys, UTEP, you take them points.
I'm going to lay the 3 and hook with Sam Houston State because I basically have bet on every single one of the Bearcats games start the year. I can't quit them, and I think they're the only team in this matchup with actual offense. The other game is tough. FIU is so bad. Jacksonville State runs the ball a ton. They're going to mix in both quarterbacks most likely. But for Sam Houston State, I wanted it. I bet it at 3. I bought the hook down to 3 on like Tuesday thinking it was going to keep moving. It has not moved. It stayed at 3.5, but I've watched enough UTEP offense to know they stink. 2 NBA props real quick. Xavier Tillman from Memphis, over 7.5 rebounds. Isaiah Stewart from the Pistons, over 16.5 points and rebounds combined. Those are the two plays tonight. It's two ugly plays, but they're playing.
We'll take them. So it ended up the Palm v Prince was a push for week for the first time, right?
Yep.
I had 3-3 and a push.
I can give Palm the victory just for the James Franklin line.
The Franklin line wasn't bad.
You both could have won me over, but you didn't.
We need a clock for next week. I think you're right. I think a 30-second clock with the ticking, we'll get that going. All right, great show, boys. Mike Palm, Trevor Maddich, thank you. Chris Myers, thank you. It was a lot of fun, and we'll see you tomorrow. Here, Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.